Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Fabulous, as a matter of fact. Just finished a lovely time of being out at the farm and taking care of the little trees, and so beautiful. I really didn't want to leave, but here we are. I also wanted to be here, so here we are.
Good. Well, thanks for sending all those photos last week with an update of what's going on the farm. That was really fun.
Oh, good. Good, good. Yeah, that was I was hoping I didn't completely overwhelm people with that one. But I think people are grown-ups. They can pace themselves, right?
Yeah, well, you know me, Sherry. You can't overwhelm me with news about Africa Project or Longview Farm or
I just keep
scrolling. So I love
Feeds
it
all. Feeds the soul, doesn't it? Feeds the soul.
It does. It does. Absolutely. And I have announcements here.
All right. More fun stuff coming up?
Yeah, trying to remember what my job is here. Announcements, that's it. According to the Buddha, ignorance is the blindness that prevents us from recognizing the true nature of the self and the universe. Sherry, that's you, Sherry, will guide a new email class, Mirroring Me Through the Enneagram, to clarify the distinction between personality and authenticity. The class begins October 17th and includes 4 Sunday workshops. And if you can breathe, you can do yoga. And twice a month, Yoga for Sangha sends out yoga videos grounded in the themes of awareness practice and especially designed for Sangha. The videos include movement options to accommodate all levels. A new quarter of this popular offering begins October 15th. All proceeds will be donated to Living Compassion in Cantalomba. The deadline to register is October 14th.
All right.
Wow. Yes. Yes.
It's good stuff. This is good.
It is good stuff. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And before I run through the reminders, Sherry, I want to encourage folks to get in the queue and join us and share their practice tonight.
Yeah, especially if they haven't or haven't in a while.
Yes.
We, Michael, the truth of the matter is we're basically nosy. We want to know what's going on with people. If they don't tell us, we can't know.
Yes, and it's nosy in the best possible way.
Best possible way.
Each of us has this mind with all kinds of nonsense and occasional clarity, and it turns out we all have the same model of mind, and helping to see different versions of this model is really helpful to me to see how minds work generally.
Yeah. So it's either me too, or a, I hadn't seen that before.
Yes.
Yeah. In any case, it's going to be helpful. Helpful for the person talking and helpful for all of us listening.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so those reminders that I teased before, if you'd like to get in the queue tonight to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and a conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
And that queue is starting to fill up, and that is awesome.
That's exciting.
All right. Here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris in Three Rivers.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Good job getting in the queue.
Oh, conditioning does not like it, that's for sure.
No, which was one of our big reasons for doing it.
Yeah.
It makes ego nuts. And so we like whatever makes you go nuts.
Yeah, thanks for Michael's encouragement just now. That did the trick.
Good, good. All right, well, what's going on?
Well, I'm so very grateful to be alive and to live close and in touch with nature.
Mm-hmm.
And today was extra challenging. I'm on furlough. I work for the National Park Service, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go in. I'm going in once a week. I work in telecommunications and basically the radio shop. And we're one of the Pacific Western region shops that handles 17 other parks. So my supervisor thought it would be good if we each took a day and went in and to cover things. So I have
and
Tuesdays.
So Chris, wait. So you're on furlough, but you folks are going in anyway? Is that what I'm understanding? Just because now let me see, let me project here. Just because you actually care what happens?
Well, yeah, and so the days that we do go in, it's time coded differently than furlough. It's called the essential worker, but it's still non-pay. It's not like there's another category called exempt for like law enforcement and fire and dispatch and certain people that are deemed.
Certain people who are dealing directly with people. I mean, you just deal with trees and animals and, you know, things like that aren't as important as human beings.
And 911 and dispatch and all radio
communication. Yeah, stuff like that.
We were like, well, of course we need to be there. So the superintendent approved that schedule, at least for this week. And we'll just, you know, just take it week by week and day by day. But this morning I read something on govexec.com about how the new plan for the administration is to not pay, back pay when the shutdown is over.
Yeah.
So that just kind of threw me for a loop. Thankfully, I had a couple of years ago, I got the parks to set up a little meditation room in the warehouse. And so I just walked around a little bit and sat. So that was helpful. And just cranking up all the tools in the tool bag, you know, just using everything that the practice has offered. And just so grateful to have the practice and have Sangha and have my support group that I have for my alcoholism and just so friggin' grateful to be alive and to be clean and sober and be practicing. And your newsletter or update the other day was so helpful. And I don't know how many times I've repeated it. Just when people seem in despair and, you know, we're talking about the state of things, just keep coming back to, hey, humans have always been acting like humans. There's always greed. Yeah. There's always, you know, power and those kind of desires that just take over. And in fact, I opened up the People's History of America the other day, and any page you pick, it's atrocities and just some crazy stuff that humans have always been up to. And just feeling like, hey, we've been living in a sweet spot, or it felt like it, you know, despite all sorts of things that have always been going on. But right now it's happening to us right here.
It's
still my best opportunity to wake up and end suffering and work out my own salvation. And so I just had to call in and say thank you and just, you know, give you an update.
Wow. Well, it's so hard. Somebody told me today that they had read somewhere that air traffic controllers are starting to call in sick and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, I mean, that's that's terrible dangerous. You know, it's, you know, where you are is dangerous for a lot of land and trees and animals and humans, right? And,
yeah.
And then we have, you know, people who are keeping the skies safe. And you just can't blame people for, I mean, I wish people would, you know, we would all take care of one another if we were set up so that when somebody is not being paid, there's a way for them to still be taken care of. Unfortunately, we don't seem to have that world yet. And so it's just, it's very hard and sad. And you're right. Those of us who have a practice that can sustain us, I think about the people who don't, you know, who don't have anything to fall back on. And so, you know, whatever they choose to do to get themselves through something like this, I really can't judge them. I can't criticize them because I'm not in that position. You know, I do have that perspective that you just laid out. And it does sustain us, no matter how difficult things get. It does sustain us. And we are very lucky.
Yep. And we just never know what's next. Who knows? Just this morning, a good friend that works for the Sequoia Parks Conservancy, they're not on furlough, or some of them weren't. And she was telling me about this guy that I know, that we all know, whose kid, just 25-year-old yesterday or the other day, she made a U-turn on the highway and hit two motorcycles, and all three are dead.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we just don't know what's next, if it's an earthquake or this or that. So I keep, when I'm, you know, ever chit-chatting with someone, it's like, you know,
we
got to have a good day, because who knows? This could be it, you know, so we got to make the most of it.
Yeah. And making the most of it for us, of course, is just love with everything we've got in us. Just love it as much as we can.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just the things that bring us joy, focus on those. And yeah, and, you know, meditation practice is so helpful. And what's really helping me lately is, for the past few months, I just wake up and first thing I do is play the Daily Recollection, you know, with me saying it too. And that really helps kick off the morning, you know, like, okay, get out of these crazy thoughts and dreams and here we are. And, you know, that saying of like, something about the devil, you know, I don't know, something about when your feet hit the floor. I don't know, I lost it, but just being on the offense, you know, with the egocentric conditioning, self-hate.
Yeah, and so starting off the morning that way, there you are. You know who you are. You know what's important to you. You know what matters. You know how you want your life to be, and the choices that you're going to do everything you can to make in order to make that happen, and what you want for everybody else too, and how much you're willing to contribute to that.
Yep. Because like you said, it just brings tears to my eyes to think, if I were, you know, to let myself think about all the suffering that's happening and those poor people that might not have a practice, you know, just,
yeah,
it's like, oh, wow, it's, you know,
yeah,
I don't know. Just gratitude. Just
gratitude, gratitude, and just living in love.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's wonderful to hear from you as always. So don't be a stranger, okay?
Oh, I'm always listening, and I feel like I'm, you know, really just leaning on Sangha, and because I'm scared about money right now, I'm afraid to sign up for anything, but I know it's donation, and I can make a small donation, and I just need the support. So
that's right. That's you know, that's essential to our practice. Nobody let's get a lot of double negatives in here. Nobody doesn't do practice because they can't afford it. we can't afford for anybody not to do it. So, yeah, that must never stop you. Don't let the voices tell you that, especially now. Yeah.
All right on. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, thank you so
Talk
much.
Talk to you soon. All
okay.
Right. Good night.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. And, wow, that was fabulous conversation, Sherry. Mm. Brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah, me too. Gosh. You know, I look at that a lot. You know, there's so much that's hard and painful. There's so much suffering and so much goodness. You know, so much love. This little thing, I don't know if everybody saw this in the news, a medical helicopter, crashed on a highway near downtown Sacramento. Mm. And a woman was trapped in a car underneath it. And 15 people got together and lifted whatever that was off of her so that they could get her out of there and get her to the hospital. And the person who was talking about this said, you know, that she was in a helicopter with other, you know, kind of rescuer official people. And as they were flying in, there was white smoke coming out of the helicopter that had gone down. So, and I just think about that, right? There's everybody there. Is this thing going to blow up? Would there be a tendency to say, you know, I want to get as far away from this thing as possible? And those people didn't. They ran right toward it and stood there and lifted that thing up. And whoever, you know, the person talking about it said, it took everything those 15 people had to get that thing off of her, and they did it. And so, you know, in the face of all of the stuff that we get about who we are as human beings, there's that.
Yeah. You know?
I think you'll agree, that's who we really are.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you caught Chris mentioning that quote. And it was in the back of my mind, and I just remembered it.
Oh, what is it about hitting your feet?
Yeah. Be the kind of woman who, when your feet hit the floor each morning, the devil says, oh, no, she's up. I love that.
Yeah, and if you're a guy, I think the same thing happens, right? You just change the gender right there, and there you go. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I know I heard it from practice.
I heard it from practice before.
Yeah.
Wow. Love it, love it, love it.
All right. And let's talk to another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey. Hey, this is Karen in North Carolina.
Hey, Karen.
Hello.
Hello. Uh-oh. I'm afraid we're in that loop again. Michael, are you there?
I'm here. Karen, can you hear us?
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
good.
I had to put my phone on speaker.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
Oh,
that's perfectly acceptable behavior. What's going on?
Turn the earbud off, put it on speaker, then it, you know, blah, blah.
Yes.
Panic
a little bit. Yeah, all that technology just does not seem to work the way we wish it did. So there's that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I was not going to put myself in the queue because we just sat down for dinner, and conditioning told me I couldn't eat and listen and participate at the same time.
No.
And I bought into that.
Until you realized... You can multitask.
and that's what I've been doing all year is getting the cue. So the fact that it talked me out of it was kind of funny.
Yes, although it didn't do a very good job, did it?
Here
you are.
Michael, to remind me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I'm just overwhelmed by the last call. And, you know, I share that gratitude. So, you know, this whole thing is, you know, we when we see every, you know, well, we've been talking about habits and behavior drops away. When we've seen what we need to see, it drops away. And
yeah,
what it dawned on me the other day, it's awareness that's doing the looking and doing the perceiving. It's not this little me.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
What a marvelous insight.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah.
It makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And so, excuse me, where does that leave you?
Well, not to listen to these silly voices that want to get into a conversation about, well, haven't I suffered enough and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and.
So now, because now what you've really, excuse me, I just got choked here. Hang on. So what you now know clearly is that this little human being is not the star of the show.
Yeah.
Right? And so this conditioned little illusion of a separate self is doing whatever and struggling with whatever, which is fine. But the awareness that you are is not having any difficulty with any of that.
And it's
and
so
you,
much...
And you don't need to either.
No. And it's so much bigger. You know, the process, of course, is everything, but it just has just hit me in a big way that it's the vastness of it, the this ending of suffering for all of, for everything. It's not just this one little human lovely being. It's for everything.
Yes, it's for everything.
Yeah, of which, mm-hmm. you know, this, I am. Everything.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was a big insight, wasn't it? It kind of just rocked you back on your heels a little bit.
Well, and to talk about it has as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was recording about it, and being reflected and having a mirror has been really wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm incredibly happy for you, because that clarity just makes all the difference. Suddenly, the things that we've struggled with and suffered over are in a perspective.
Yes.
They're now in perspective. And we can know that that's true for everyone.
Yeah.
Whether a person realizes it or not, they're fine. They're okay.
Yep.
And suffering is not a requirement. It's not necessary. We will until we realize we don't have to.
Mm. Mm. So I, too, am so grateful for this practice and the sustenance and being able to give back and the exchange of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's lovely, and we are incredibly fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Have a marvelous dinner.
Thank you. I'll go back to the table now.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Karen.
Uh-huh. Bye bye.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And Karen, I cannot mute you, so if you could call back in, that would be fabulous.
I bet she can mute herself, but.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure. She can
put her earbuds back in. That probably, you know, it's right. So those, you know, that technology. It's so funny that we think it's going to work because we just, you know, and then, you know, just time after time after time, it actually doesn't work, and so we just go back to the phone, and everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Have we got another person?
Yes, we do. Let's find out who.
Oh, goody.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Patty from Vancouver.
Hey, Patty.
Hi. I haven't been on the calls for a little bit. I've been traveling, and So I just really felt like I, especially after that first caller, Chris, I just really enjoy this Sangha and the guide and everything about this practice. And I have felt, I guess, a bit disconnected. So I wanted to phone in and say hello.
Well, you know, it always strikes me as it's so interesting that that we do that. You know, that we get talked into, I'm traveling, and so I can't participate. And yet, you know, I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. There's still technology. You know, I still have a clock. I know what time it is. You know, so of course I could. And yet, we get talked into it. It seems so reasonable and kind of plausible. And
well,
and like somehow there's going to be a benefit. And then we realize, I'm not sure there was a benefit in that.
In this case, I was on a painting retreat. So I was up at 7:30 and the retreat ended after 9 at night. So I really couldn't participate during that time. But while I was traveling there and back, yes, I could have, you know. But what was I going to say? I was talking to my reflective listening buddy today, and it occurred to me something I wasn't seeing, and that is that ego finds the assignments too long to read, and therefore that is a hindrance to me. Like it's almost like, well, okay, I'll just wait till Ashwini reads it on the morning calls. You know, it's sort of like that bamboozle of, I can't do this.
Yeah. You know? Yes, exactly. And the thing that fascinates me about that is that it's so believable right up until the time it isn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those ego voices in the head, them going on is never too long. You know, if you are awake enough to hear them yammering at you, they're happy to yammer at you.
Yes.
It's never I've really gone on long enough now. I need to be quiet now and let you do it. No. And yet, they would say, oh, those assignments are too long. Too long for whom?
Mm-hmm.
Too long for ego.
Yeah, and this thing about time, that gets to me too. It's like, reading this would take a lot of time. But if I did something else, you know, like, who's deciding how the time
should go? Oh, we know who's deciding.
Yeah.
We know who's deciding. Yeah. And you know, Patty, that's the whole point. That's what people really need to catch on to. So if you and I are in that kind of relationship, and it is an abusive relationship, let's face it. And my whole point as the abuser is to prove to you that I can make you do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what I'm getting you to do. It's that I can make you do it, and you'll do it.
Yeah, and it gets me because it's the assignment for the week, and if I don't do the assignment, I can't participate, or I'm not a good practitioner. You know, it's the usual things that make it that much more important, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things, of course, that you might try, aside from just flat-out ignoring them, is to record it as you read it.
Yeah.
So read it out loud into your recorder, and then you can listen to it whenever you choose to. And you could even listen to it while you are, in quotes, doing something else.
Yes. And also, what as soon as that thought occurred to me, oh, the assignments, oh, yeah, this is happening, what immediately came up is I'm going to print it out in bigger letters so that I'm not trying to, you know, read the tiny text on my phone and then record it and then put it beside mm-hmm. my bed. You know, it's mm-hmm. like double, triple reminders yeah. of, okay, this is what is important to spend my time with this week. This yeah. is important.
Yeah. Yeah. And you put it beside your bed, and now we're back to the previous, right? So you see it in the morning, you think, oh, I think I'll take a quick look at that. And then you get up and there's the devil going, oh, no.
Oh, I don't have time. Yeah.
Well, no, the devil is going to say, oh, damn, she's up. She's armed. Hide. Run for cover.
Oh, it's, you know, it's so great to out ego and speak it out loud and laugh about it and mm-hmm. Find some tools, strategies to overcome this until the next one comes up, and that's fine. Then I call yep. in again, and, yep. you know, we deal with that one.
Yeah, and you're right. Making fun of it, it's a bully, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a tyrant. It's a bully. And so to make fun of it, to laugh at it, oh, my God, just hates that, and, which is what makes it such a good approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, my approach to all of this is, it says that it's too long to read. Okay, then I'm going to read it twice.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you're not the boss of me, and you don't tell me what to do.
Well, it's like you say, or at least I've heard, whatever ego is saying, you do the opposite.
Exactly so.
Yeah.
Exactly so. Because again, its whole game is to be in control of you. And so to do the opposite of what it says is the way to freedom. It really is. Because
yeah.
we don't have to do it for very long before we realize, why am I doing this because of a voice in my head tells me? Oh, that's insane. You know, if we said that to people, well, you know, I only ever do what the voice in my head tells me, you know, they're starting to kind of look at each other and go, maybe a doctor visit would be in order.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, mm-hmm. and you know, when I examine it and say, well, why would I bother listening to what the voices say? When I know mm-hmm. when I do the assignment and I see through things, there is freedom. Why wouldn't
yes.
I do that? You
That's
know?
Exactly right. That is the big question for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it takes seeing it to begin with, and then you take those
That's
steps.
Right. That's exactly
freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. First we have to see it. I don't
yeah.
want to suffer. I know how not to suffer. Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the path.
And I just want to say I am so grateful that you are there every day to help remind me of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's a
joyful thing to get to do. So we're happy to get to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Gusho.
All right. Thank you, Gusho.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. And that was fabulous, Sherry.
Hey, Michael, we don't have open air tonight. I mean, good news, do we?
That's correct. We do not have good news tonight.
Yeah, I thought that because our good news person, along with our co-facilitator, is doing a retreat. So I it just suddenly dawned on me, I bet she's not going to. Okay. All right, good. More time
Sorry.
For us.
Yes, yes. I could have told you that up front. Sorry about that.
No, no, no. It's okay. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It dropped in.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Anne from Port Angeles calling, and I am so happy to be here.
Well, me too. What's going on that's leading to this happiness besides being here?
I had the most amazing experience this morning. I mean, it was a very ordinary, extraordinary experience. I'm driving to work, and as I always do, I listen to the reading. I record. You were speaking earlier about recording the reading. So every time the reading comes out for the week, for the year long, I record it, and then I listen to it on my drive to work. So I got in my car, turned on the recording, sat out on the road, and it's quoting. It's the first part is a quote about how everything in the universe is energy. It's by some physicist, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm driving down the road, and I look up, and there is the most astounding full moon. And I was just like, oh, my Lord. Because the last, you know, last week's it was, I wish I could give him the moon. And I just felt like, oh, my gosh, I just got a full moon as a present. I mean, I just felt like, you know, I don't know. It was just exquisitely timed and beautiful. And I actually had to leave a message for a friend of mine later, and I said, you have got to get outside tonight and look at this moon. It's amazing.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
And with the sunrise coming up and the colors, because, you know, it's starting to get dark in our neck of the woods later, unfortunately.
I know.
But there's a gift in that.
That moon.
Yeah, so I just felt like the most special person in the world.
Would that be it? And you know, Anne, the thing that I so appreciate about what you're describing is the how it comes together for us at exactly the right time. It's just there's just the moment, and you're there for it, and it all comes together. And if you try to describe this or explain this to somebody who doesn't practice awareness, I think it would kind of be a, oh, wow, oh, nice. And you could tell they just didn't really get it, right? They did not get the magnitude of it. But for somebody who practices awareness to realize those moments when everything comes together just perfectly, for us to have that kind of, I don't know if we call it a realization, but that kind of experience of the wonder and the beauty that life is right there in front of me.
Yes. Yeah, and wanting every, I mean, I really, at the moment I'm looking, I just wanted everybody, I'm like, I hope everybody in the world is getting to look at this moon. It's like amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, what I'd underline is the amazing part is wanting everybody to have the experience. That's what's amazing. So it's not just an experience for me. It's that I want everyone to, not the full moon. I mean, that's wonderful, yes.
Yeah.
But it's what that moment does for us and to us. That's what we want everyone to experience.
Well, don't you just kind of think there'd be world peace if they did?
Yes, I do. Yes, I absolutely do. Which again is why, you know, what we talk about constantly, why those ego voices are just working overtime to distract people from having those kinds of experiences that tell us what's really important in life, where joy lives,
where
peace and happiness live.
Yeah, in the silence, in the breath, in the presence, all of that. And this seems completely unrelated, but I've learned to trust. It's not, you know, this is what's arising in the moment. You were talking to somebody, I think Ashwini was talking to somebody this morning about you call in and you know, what arises. So this is what's arising. I don't remember where, or I think it was in the year-long retreat. I'm not sure, but I can't pronounce his name, but Maharishi Rama, whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
He was saying something about, somebody was asking him something and saying something about practice, and I don't know whether the person, I can't remember the adjective that was used, but hard or challenging or something, something along those lines. And he basically just said, "What's the alternative?" And it was just because I'll tell you, I practice yoga, and I went to a class last night, and it wasn't a different class. It was just the same class, but my body, it was hard for the expression that my body was in for that day. It was a very, very hard class for me. And I was like, ugh. And then this morning I went to yoga and it was not as hard because, you know, I did the class last night, but it's challenging. And I very often hear myself say yoga is extremely difficult. I mean, it's challenging. I find it difficult, challenging physically, et cetera. And yet I find myself having to make the choice over and again, I choose this. I choose this. Mm-hmm. I know it's good for me. I choose this. And there's some kind of corollary with practice because I see the benefits every single day of practicing awareness and of practicing yoga. And so, okay, whoever has an opinion about it, you're fine to have your opinion. And it's like you were in one of the peace quotes recently was from you about we make a commitment and then who cares? I mean, I don't know whether you said it this way, but who cares how we feel? It has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We keep our commitment because keeping our commitment is who we are.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And it makes all the difference. It all the difference,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So you get all of the benefits of an awareness practice, and I would kind of argue that they're not that different.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Physical awareness and mental, spiritual, emotional awareness. You know, they do kind of go together, and so you get all the benefits from that, and ego doesn't like you to have those benefits, and if you listen to ego, then you wouldn't do those things. And we get to that point of realizing. And it must have been, I don't know whether it was Nisargadatta Maharaj or Ramana Maharshi who with that quote, but
I don't either.
Actually more like Nisargadatta Maharaj because he's a little more feisty. and it has that kind of tone to it, right? Of, okay, all right, this is really hard. Okay. You don't suffer if you don't do these kinds of things? You know, if not doing hard things was the way not to suffer, we would all be saying, oh, God, let's stop doing things that the ego voices say are hard. Let's not do those because those cause us to suffer. But it's exactly the opposite. So we might as well just get to that point of, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
this is what I'm going to do. It's not negotiable. And it doesn't matter what a voice in my head says. And if I weren't listening to a voice in my head, I wouldn't be feeling like I didn't want to do it. So, it's very straightforward.
Well, I found the what's the alternative so incredibly reassuring. It was like, yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes. Yeah.
So we put one foot in front of the other with awareness and keep on going.
And keep in mind, we also keep in mind that while ego wants to focus on the times that are hard or painful or we feel like, there are so many more when we don't hear those. Well, we might hear the voices, but that's not our experience. Where we realize, oh my God, this is exactly what I want to do. You know, it's an earlier caller. Times are really difficult and challenging. I have an awareness practice. I have a zafu I can go sit on. I know where to find peace and comfort and encouragement and hope and strength. I know where to find those.
Yes, deep gratitude, you know? Yeah.
Indeed.
And I, you know, I still have this thing taped on my car that if there's a problem, how do you know if you're suffering? If there's a problem, if, you know, there's a whole list, and I just, you're identified. I'm like, yeah. So when there's that voice, I just go, okay, there's ego.
Exactly. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, it's in one of the books, isn't it? If this is happening, if this is happening, if this is happening, I'm identified with ego. That's the answer to that. I think I shortened that into, if I'm not happy, I'm identified with
yes.
ego.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I have it in there, and I've had people get in, I forget it's there sometimes, and people get in my car and read it and go, what does that mean?
It's actually
a nice conversation starter.
yes, and sad, right? So few people know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm just so grateful for all the practice opportunities. We're just incredibly blessed. So thank you very much.
We are. Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Ann. And yes, we are blessed, aren't we, Sherry?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In so many ways. I've lost sight of how blessed I am.
Mm.
You know, that so much of it just feels normal. And then the reminder of being with people, especially as we were just saying, you know, people who have no idea at all that there is an alternative to suffering. No idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Extraordinary. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tom from San Jose.
Hey, Tom.
I feel embarrassed by all the riches I get by talking to you so often these days.
All right. Well, I think we just have to settle in and accept it.
I think you're right.
What's going on?
I really got bit by the interviewing bug at one point, and it was just marvelous. And I was having so much fun doing it, especially at the Villambrosa retreat.
Uh-huh.
And ego has really seized on it and convinced me that there is no time in my day. There is no good way to do it that fits in, and it just basically has made it impossible for me to get the interviewing done without this full court press, just like this huge weight on top of me. And so my frequency of being blissful has gone way down.
Huh. Somehow I'm not surprised. Are you?
I am not.
Yeah.
I am not. So,
and so
I really
where does that leave
that.
You?
Well, it leaves me with a real yearning to do it. Very much wanting the benefits that I've experienced in the past from it.
Mm-hmm.
And missing those benefits very, very deeply.
Mm-hmm.
It leaves me in a place of kind of a little zombie-ish almost.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have the advantage of the interviewing going on.
Yeah. And now, of course, I'm not going to say this in quite the language, but I would say that whole premise is horse pucky.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we have time during the day. Of course we do.
Yeah.
Of course we do. And so it's really then starts becoming a, now, why am I falling for this? And, of course, you've clearly seen the price that you're paying for going along with that nonsense. And, it's funny. Over time, I've really enjoyed opportunities to take something like that on, and because, for instance, you know, I am someplace. An earlier caller made reference, as a matter of fact. So I'm doing something that I'm committed to doing, and And that means that then I can't do these other things. It's just not possible. But I've never found anything yet that when I actually pursued it from the perspective of this is really important to me, this is something that I choose to do, that circumstances have not aligned themselves such that I can do it.
Uh-huh. I got lost a little bit in the middle. Can you help with that?
Yeah. So it's, you know, we might have talked about this in the past, but I'll talk with parents about what goes on with their kids. And the kid is, you know, pitching a fit over whatever. And the parent is trying to placate and negotiate and please and manipulate and, you know, whatever is going on. And as soon as the parent reaches the point of, no, this is the way it's going to be, it all stops.
Uh-huh.
Because all that was happening was the kid intuitively sensed, this person is not really committed.
Uh-huh.
I got room here. I got room to get my way here. And as soon as that door closes, then the circumstances all change. Right? Are you with me on that one?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And so if I am with my commitment, so I'm going to do an interview in the morning and one in the afternoon. And these are times that I'm at work. But I'm going to do that. And so now my job is to find out how to do that. And it's amazing what's possible. So I work with somebody who felt like they needed to walk a certain amount during the day for health reasons. But it wasn't possible because, you know, you go to work at 9 and you get off at 5. And it's just not possible. And I said, okay, well, how much have you pursued that? You know, have you asked anybody if this is going to be a problem? Do you not get to eat lunch? Do you not have a time to have lunch? Do you never take a break for whatever? Do you not get to go to the restroom? So let's start really looking at how this could work. And of course, immediately it became clear that there are these times where that could happen if I really wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the opening. Do I really want to make that commitment? Because if I do, then everything is going to, it's the Gary Zukav. You know, you make 10% of you makes a decision and 90% of the universe gets behind it.
Yes.
But we have to be committed.
Yes, and there was something that was said on the Daily Show just recently about if you want something, all you have to do is choose it.
Yes, exactly, which we're doing all the time.
Yes.
It's just that we're not really paying a lot of attention to what we're choosing. Instead, ego usually has us griping about what we don't have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of my favorite ways to talk about this is, now, I know this is not you, but say you're having an affair. And the only time that you have to interact with this person that you're having an affair with is during the work day. Do you find time to send a little text, send a little note, meet for coffee? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So have an affair with Tom.
Why not? What's there to lose?
Exactly so. Yeah. And so we start scheming. You know, okay, well, you know, if I worked a little harder at that, I could get that done, and then I'd have that 15 minutes, and I would spend that, yeah. Or if I switch that around, or very often, you know, this kind of thing happens to us where you've got a meeting with somebody, and then at the last minute they cancel it. Well, ego's going to come in with, oh, well, good, then you could get the done. You say, no, you know, the divinity has given me this time. I'm going to do an interview.
Uh-huh. So just keep looking for those opportunities. Stay vigilant.
That's right. That's right. Because of exactly what you described. Because that's what keeps you lit up. That's mm-hmm. what keeps you a happy person, loving life, contributing, participating, giving. That's where all that comes from. So it's mm-hmm. not, there's nothing selfish about it. It's the least selfish thing we can do.
Yeah, that selfish word is one of the ones that often I get bamboozled by.
Yeah. So anytime we hear the word selfish, we can know that ego is angling for itself.
Mm-hmm. That the selfishness is a projection of ego, you would say?
Well, and that it what it's saying is you're going to do something for Tom.
Mm-hmm.
That's selfish. You need to be doing what I'm telling you to do. You need to be living for me, ego. Not for him, me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the ways that you've been describing, ego's being fed. Tom's not.
Mm-hmm.
Tom's suffering. Ego isn't.
Yeah, that makes me just, what dropped in as soon as you said that was, I've got time to spend with ego.
That's exactly it. There you go. That's the insight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't have an affair with ego. It's never going to end well.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's very good. Thank you very much.
You are so very welcome. Let's talk soon.
Let's do that.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Tom. Another fabulous conversation shared.
I think affairs are very important, don't you? The kinds of affairs that we have in awareness practice, they are the source of great pleasure.
Yes, yes. I just mm-hmm. love that notion, that mm-hmm. metaphor, making off mm-hmm. with somebody important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've done it, sir. I think
yes,
we are kind of at the top of the hour.
Yes, we are. So thank you, mm-hmm. Sharon, very much. And thanks to everyone who joined us tonight.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody. It was a good time. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Go
happy.
All right.
Good night.
Gotcha.